Well, the congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ is indeed a matter before us this evening that perhaps, as I just prayed, might seem a little bit even overly practical. It is true that the fifth commandment wants to direct us, God does by this commandment, into the various areas of authority and accountability and honor that exist in the human community. And most significant to that, especially initially in our lives, is the fifth commandment. And how ought we consider that commandment? I want to draw our attention to something, and I hinted we'll do this. So go in your Bible to Matthew chapter 15. Now, this is a New Testament parallel in a significant way to what we want to look at tonight in Proverbs. And it is significant because the same matter is before us in both cases. I'm going to preface this reading by saying this to us, that it should be very significant to us that when the Pharisees are doing what they are doing about their slighting the Lord Jesus Christ, that he brings to their attention, of all the commandments he could bring to their attention, he brings to their attention the fifth commandment. And we'll see why just now. So follow along and let's read in Matthew chapter 15. We're going to begin at verse 1 and just read through verse 9. Matthew 15 at verse 1. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and your mother.' And anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honor his father with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.'" And so, beloved, notice the significance of what it is Jesus is saying about the fifth commandment. Do we, on the one hand, say we love the Lord Jesus Christ, and then on the other hand, in terms of relationship, parent to child, disregard that which he calls us to? And so we want to consider that, especially the child-to-parent issue of responsibility and honor, in terms of the reality that that relationship does not end when the child reaches age 18. People of God, we will see that honor owed to parents is due more to their office than their function, an office given by God. You see, children taught to be godly adults will honor parents who struggle in old age. And that's exactly what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 50. Now, I know Proverbs is our text, but do you see the wonder of the fact that they line up so beautifully? Jesus is pressing those Pharisees. He is asking them, is it right that you dishonor parents in the way you want to say you do? Well, we need to see then four things this evening. First, the fifth commandment is the rule from love. Second, parents are to be respected as those who gave us life. Third, old age will bring new defects and challenges to dad and mom. Fourth, yet aged parents are to be honored as their love is unchanged. Children taught to be godly adults will honor parents who struggle in old age. Well, first then, it is significant to remember that the fifth commandment is the rule from love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is the first and the greatest commandment. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. So the structure of God's commands show a new beginning when we get to the fifth commandment. Did you notice this? We're done now with the first table of the law. That table which has primarily to do with the vertical relationship we are in, the individual, with God. And now with the fifth commandment, we're looking at something slightly different. Love for neighbor. I was in this building a week ago Friday and bringing my daughter forward, as some of you dads have done before, going through the challenge of answering the question, who gives? And I said in the rehearsal the night before, oh, I didn't know that giving was part of this. Because dads feel that. You're giving away. Well, there's something significant that happens at marriage, isn't there? At marriage, our spouse replaces our parents as our closest neighbor. Now remember that, because it's significant. But in a real sense, our parents are our first neighbors. In a deeply significant way, the family structure constitutes the first, if I can put it this way, neighborhood. Where we learn, sometimes in good days and sometimes in hard days, what it means to love those nearest to us, close by. There's a deeply familiar neighborhood that you have grown up in, many or if not most of us. And then we get to that time and that place in life where children become adults. And adult children have a different way, perhaps, of thinking about their parents. Adult children, though, have the calling to respond in love. Now maybe you'll be thinking about this and you'll realize that perhaps that was a lot easier to do when we were small children. I think that's true. Why is that? I think especially as you get to those middle years, adolescent years, and before the teenage years come, the early teenage years, children can see very clearly the experience of the love of the parent. Now, they'll remember that later on, but for a while, they remember that in their years, that, oh, Dad and Mom, they protect me. They provide for me. They sustain me. Surely they're loving me in that way. And children learn to love their parents over the responsibility that the parent has in the office of parenthood. Children love their parents. Well, people of God, our loving Father in heaven, put into place the office of parent to be rule through love. Rule through love. Now, we have to admit that everything we've just been thinking about and considering together is not quite as easy as it was a number of decades and generations ago. We live in a complicated world now where the nuclear family is no longer the norm, sadly. Let's say it. It is sad. Many children grow up in a single-parent home or grow up living through the trauma of divorce and the unfair reality of step-parents. Even though that can be very hard, there is still much love and evidence through these broken situations. In fact, sometimes the stage two parent, if I can put it that way, are more godly and more loving than the birth parent was. And it is, of course, hard to consider these things, but it is the way, the world that we're living in, and challenging, no doubt. And so we can learn that the office of parent is from God to be a rule of love, which love comes from God, who loves us as the ultimate parent and who is to be copied. This, of course, is what Solomon is trying to get at in Proverbs chapter 23 when he says, "Listen to your father who gave you life and do not despise your mother when she is old." The way the ultimate parent, God, parents us is to be copied and reproduced by those who are in the office of parents. People of God, then, this fifth commandment is the first commandment. It is the first commandment drawn out of an office, parent, with a calling, rule, which flows from love. Or let's put it very succinctly, Christ-centered parenting is loving. And such parents, secondly, are to be respected as those who gave us life. Now, in many cases, though not in every case, that love began the moment the parents realized that, and I use the word plural intentionally here, when the parents realized that they were pregnant. Verse 22, listen to your father who gave you life. Now, if you read that tonight for the first time or you haven't remembered reading it and in your recent memory, you'll probably be struggling with that because even down in verse 25, it says, the mother who gave you birth. Normally, when we think about the issuing forth of life, we think about the mother. But here in the scriptures, the attention is drawn to the father. And I think that's significant. Now, it is true, of course, and we don't need to get into this too much, that both father and mother are needed. But there is, I think, an additional understanding given to us here about the office from which life issues And when those two people together realize for the very first time that they will be having a baby, that is usually for them an amazing, memorable moment that they never forget. Now, of course, I know that you're tempted right now to begin remembering and thinking about the first time you realized, husband and wife together, that you were becoming parents, and you thought of the amazement of that, and that's fine. But think about it in terms of the reality that at that moment you realized you guys, as husband and wife, were now going to become dad and mom. You were at that moment already placed into this office. And so it is a weighty thing, isn't it? It is a weighty thing to realize the implications and the significant calling and charge of that office of parent. Go back to a moment to verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life. Because I think here's another way we can understand what the scripture here is addressing to us in terms of the fifth commandment. How does the father give life? Aside from the biological question, think about the reality of that father taking the mantle of the office and the responsibility of that office, so that each day after that, he would go to work early and probably be coming home late, realizing the weightiness of that responsibility. Think about mom, how she would perhaps scrimp and save and produce, and maybe even, as was the case in my family, maybe she sewed your clothes so that you had something to wear. She planted a garden. She tended it. She was engaged in the duties that were either in the home or at the workplace or both. Amazingly, and together they're fulfilling the office of parents. Now this, beloved, I assert to you, is the normal way we consider the basic issues presented to us in the fifth commandment. So that when the catechism comes to us and it says, here's the answer, that I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and my mother. That's how we normally consider it. And that's not wrong. People of God, the loving actions taken by parents to give us life is usually a long list of sacrifices they gave. And yet, the joy and the beauty and the privilege of being a parent cannot be stated strongly enough. I couldn't help it as I was considering this. I almost feel like I'm repeating myself now, but I remember that moment of first holding that incredibly small, tender, seemingly weak child in my hands. Perhaps you do too. You never forget it. But then comes the weight. And I think it's not only to the father. I know it's also to the mother. But experientially, I grasp this from the father's perspective of feeling the weight of the duty, the charge of the responsibility, the charge of being a parent, and then later, blessed need by God, a grandparent. And it's time, beloved, I think, as the church and as Christians, we honor the Lord of life in speaking of the blessing of these things to others. You know, often we come to church and we want to rally around those causes and those things which are good and honorable, and we ought to, and we say such things as, well, we are surely pro-life, we're opposed to abortion, and we ought to be, but you see, there's another side of it, a positive side of it, where we say to all of those around us, we want to have as many children as the Lord will give to us. We want to raise a family of fruitful children, as the scripture talks about regularly. We ought to be saying to our grandchildren even that we shouldn't be so focused on job or career or travel or hobbies or the comforts that life provides to us if those things are going to draw away the resources that we could rather be applying to having children and raising them as large a family as the Lord would give to us. And so what we're saying here, beloved, in a general way, already, we'll get to the details in a moment, is that we can be counteracting and pushing away the lies the world says to us, such lies like, well, children are a burden, a family detracts from your other privileges and your freedoms and all those sorts of things. And we ought to say, rather, that being a parent is a beautiful, blessed privilege and yet an office. I would assert to us again and say it this way, that I find it hard to see any other office than parent being more joyful or fulfilling. And as you go to Thanksgiving meal, and just a little bit more than a month away, get together for Christmas with your family, let's remember that. What a privilege and a blessing it is. Well, people of God, children will more easily respect parents when they hear and see the joy which parents have the privilege of being put by God into this office. We should not present to our children the reality of parenting like, oh boy, this is really hard and such a burden. But we should want to say and show something else. Because thirdly, old age will bring new defects and challenges to dad and mom. I want you to go back to Proverbs 23 and verse 22, and I want you to notice the poetic structure of the Proverbs. You have seen this regularly if you've studied the Proverbs. You know that there's part A in most Proverbs and part B, sometimes part C or even part D. But in this particular proverb, there's an A and a B. Well, the first part, Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22, A, is very familiar to us. Listen to your father who gave you life. That's the basic issue of authority, isn't it? And honoring parents. And yes, we've just said we should do those things. But then, and there's the part B. Now, as part A applies to both dad and mom, they both gave us life. Don't miss this. Part B also applies to both mom and dad. Do not despise your mother when she is old. Are there challenges in child rearing? Yes. Are there challenges of being adult children to aging parents? Yes. But then there's this question. And we go back to what the Lord Jesus Christ confronted the Pharisees with in Matthew 15. Do you realize that what he was saying in Matthew 15 was, oh, you are making a claim that you do not have to care for your aging parents because you're devoting all of your money to God. That's exactly what Jesus was confronting them with. Because in that culture, unlike in our culture largely, the responsibility and the financial burden of caring for aging parents rested on the children of working, income-earning status. So that when parents grew aged and had all the infirmities that come with age, they would move in, if they didn't already live with, their adult children, the ones who were working all of those hours. And the adult children were expected to care for those aging parents in their later years of challenge. And the Lord was saying, but you're trying to push that away by saying, I've already devoted all of my resources to God. He said, you're using your traditions to violate God's commandments. In other words, honor your parents when they are old. Exactly what Solomon, by the same Holy Spirit, is saying to us here tonight. Now, that means we're going to have to realize and accept and deal with the reality that when our parents get old, there's going to be a temptation to despise them. You see the word here in the text of Scripture? Do not despise them. Now, we would say that's true not only in the way the Lord Jesus Christ said, well, you can just disregard them because you're giving all of your money to God. Not just that, but even if you say you're supporting your parents and loving them, the challenge and the temptation will be there to despise them in the midst of that. Why? Because they do get old. You need to be told this. I wonder if you've done that, if you had the occasion to do that, to have a sit down with your children and explain to them, listen, your mom and I, we are going to get old. And they'll laugh, oh, you're not old yet. My kids have said the very thing. You're not old yet, Dad. No, but we're going to get old. And when we do, we're going to have new challenges, ones that we do not have right now. We're going to begin to struggle. We should be telling our children this. We're going to begin to struggle with the issues of our changing bodies, including changes that are going to take place in our brains. It will be seen in our emotions. That we might have a discussion with them is teaching them that they can learn to honor us even in these difficult and challenging years. And so when physical mobility and strength and agility declines, as it certainly does and will, so also will our internal thinking and our memory and our emotions get more difficult to manage. Beloved, why all of this detail? Because the Scripture says, do not despise your mother when she is old. People of God, aging. Aging is usually not easy on body and mind and brings trouble and complications to the parent-to-adult-child dynamic. Some of you are living this right now, and it's not easy, is it? Yet Christian children of whatever age are not to despise parents of whatever age. You have experienced the impact of aging on your loved ones. Maybe first you saw it when you were younger, in terms of your grandparents or maybe even your great-grandparents. And when we're younger, we don't normally think through the implications of it. Or understand exactly what that's going to mean when it's no longer a grandparent or a great-grandparent, but when it's a parent, and how we're going to handle those things. But there's the tendency, you see, according to the Scripture, for us to respond negatively at first. But I want us for a moment to think about why that happens. Because I think it happens pretty regularly. Especially when we are realizing as a family right now in regards to my mom, if I can be very personal for a moment, we realize that the weaknesses and the defects, even as the Catechism talks and hints at, are real. Why do we sometimes respond negatively? I think it has to do, at least in part, with the fact that for all of our days before that moment, we were depending on mom and dad. Now, when we were children in their house, we depended on them for everything, right? From our earliest days until we finally graduated and moved out on our own. They protected us. They clothed us. They helped us pay bills, all those sorts of things. That changes when we become adults and we move out of the home and we're establishing our own home. Yet, even when we're away from them in our own homes, we still depend on them for emotional stability, don't we? And then comes that moment and the realization crashes in that the parent that we were trusting and depending on is no longer able to provide those things for us. And the roles begin to be reversed. We react negatively. If I can put it so visually as to say that the parent who is hobbling with a walker is the parent who used to carry us around in her arms. When that reversal happens, it is hard. Their aging takes away, at least in some regards, our emotional security. And when it does, we realize the danger that we begun to trust in people rather than God. And people of God, we can learn to trust. We can learn to trust the Lord more and so not lean as much on dad and mom as their hardships of aging take them away. Yet, fourthly, aged parents are to be honored as their love is unchanged. Now, we said this earlier, but it needs, I think, to be repeated at this point, that children need to be taught all these things. You realize, of course, that this is what Solomon, by the Holy Spirit's inspiration, is doing here in Proverbs 23, isn't it? He is teaching his children, especially his sons. Now, here's what you're to do at these particular stages of life. When it comes to your parents being in the position of age, old age, this is how you need to act, to love and obey and honor parents when they are elderly. And teaching those things takes conversation. It takes explanation. It takes a gospel perspective. I think that's particularly true. And this, again, is why Jesus is so focused on this in that parallel passage in Matthew 15. Because of all the people we are supposed to love and respect and honor in this life and in this world, our parents are very high up on that list, especially if we're not married. But if we are married, they're in a very high position, aren't they, of people to whom the gospel applies. And we care for them and love them. Once our children have matured some into their late teens and 20s, probably, their hearts and their minds will be able to accept the things that we're addressing here this evening. And we ought to be teaching them. That is to say, we ought to be teaching them the nuances of honoring elderly parents about whom they do not have in their minds right now, have weaknesses. Their parents having real weaknesses is going to be a matter that's going to crash in on them at some point. And yet when those weaknesses of their parents in their elderly years come crashing in, they need to remember that the love of the parent in the gospel is an unchanged love. We ought to do this about our elderly parents, if we have those yet, to remember that they gave us birth, raised us, they were used in maturing us, and even in their last years of life on this earth, and this is sometimes hard to consider, but even in their last years of life on this earth, our parents, no matter how much we are parenting them, they still have a parent's perspective about us, don't they? And they will, because they're in that office, and you can't take that away. Though the dynamic of the relationship changes, not the office, it never changes. The office of parent comes with great love. People of God, we can accept the loving words of counsel and advice from elderly parents, knowing that their words are out of love. Now, you will notice, and perhaps you're looking for some of this tonight, but you will notice that we have not even touched much on some important things. Things such as the reality that adult children and elderly parents will sometimes disagree on issues of significance. And they'll struggle, these adult children and the elderly parents, they'll struggle to try to understand how they're to relate one to the other in this changed situation. That's a real thing, isn't it? Elderly parents, as they struggle with the onset of the difficulties that come with age, will become, let's just be honest, in some ways, harder to love and respect. It's true. It happens. But beloved, when we think about these things, when we wrestle with these things, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ come right back to us very powerfully, don't they? If I can say it this way, we could almost rationalize why the Pharisees were saying, well, I've already devoted all those resources to God, and so there's no money left for you. There's no time left for you. I say we can almost rationalize that because being an adult child of a challenging elderly parent is a difficult task. And sometimes it's easier just to say, well, let the state handle it, or something like that. And so his words, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, a beautiful parallel to our proverb here, come right back to us, don't they? What does it mean to be loving and loyal and respectful and kind and forgiving, that I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother? You see, because the office of parent does not have an expiration age, and sometimes that's very hard. They get frustrated. They get grumpy. They forget. I told you that 5 times already. Familiar thoughts to me. People of God, verse 22. Verse 22, listen to your aged parents. Don't think too highly of yourself. Be humble and patient, always remembering the lifetime of love they have shown to you, the example of Christ they have lived before you, and honor them. Amen. Oh, now, Heavenly Father, we need your mercy and your help that we might apply these things to our own situation of life. For some of us right now have aged parents in that state of weakness and debilitation. Others soon will. And then one day, if you should will it, we ourselves will be in that very situation. We pray, Lord, that in all of that, the proverb and the fulfillment and explanation of it by Jesus himself in Matthew 15 will come again ringing in our ears. And we will remember what it means to love our neighbor as ourself. Bless us tonight in these things, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.